This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 247, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And just so you know, my book, titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, is on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, Kindle, or audiobook, and the audiobook is also on Spotify. This week, I'm talking to Terry Scalia about her experience of alien abduction. Terry had a first significant alien encounter in 1986. Terry is a medium, intuitive, channel, and ordained minister. Hi, Terry. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So we're going to be talking about your experiences, your encounters with UFOs and aliens, and some other things that have happened which are related to it.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, how were you as a child? Do you have any memories of encountering ETs when you were very young?
You know, I'm asked that question a lot, and I don't have a lot of memories of when I was a child. I had not so nice parents, let's just say, and there was a lot of abuse. So I think I contributed to that. I don't know if that's the full answer. But I do contribute a good bit of that to the trauma. So I do remember as a child, and again, I don't know if this is attached to the trauma from my, you know, from my parents or if something else was going on. But I remember as a child being terrified to look out of a window in the when it's dark out. And never going near a window. I remember being afraid of my closet. I remember being afraid, especially afraid of something under the bed. And I have a vivid memory of waking up in the middle of the night and having to go to the restroom. And I was so terrified to get off my bed that I stood up on the bed and jumped like 5 feet away from the off the bed so that whatever was under the bed wouldn't grab my ankles. So I had a lot of fears. And again, I don't know if that's contributed to the, you know, attributed to the abuse or, you know, to something else going on. I do remember that my dad had a story that he used to tell us when he was a child. They were migrant farm workers, and they went to different, they were living in Texas, and they traveled to different states to pick produce and, you know, vegetables and stuff. And they were staying in a little house on somebody's farm, and his mother woke him up in the middle of the night and said, come to the window and look out the window. I want to show you something. And so he gets up and he goes to the window and he can look. He looked out the window and he looked over and there was a field and there were lights in a perfect circle that were just blinking or, you know, moving. I don't know if they were moving, but he said there were lights in a perfect circle. And his mother said, the witches are dancing. And back in the day when I heard that story, I thought it was really interesting, but I didn't tie it to anything extraterrestrial until years later. And I got to thinking about that story and I wondered if it had possibly been a UFO.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I don't know if anybody in my family on my mother's side or my father's side has ever had extraterrestrial experiences themselves, saw UFOs or whatever. That was something that was just not talked about. If I dared to bring it up, you know, it was shut down pretty quickly. That's ridiculous talk and you're crazy and things like that.
So if you look back, what is your, like, your earliest memory of something anomalous happening that might be linked to UFOs?
The first thing that I remember happening was when I was living in California. I was living in California and I was a single mom. I was 25, 26. I had two little girls and I was having these really strange experiences where I would wake up from sleeping and I was not able to move, yet I could see light through my eyelids, and it was very terrifying. I thought it was morning because my room seemed to be brightly lit. And then it would last a few seconds, or what I thought was a few seconds, and my eyes would pop open and it would be dark in my room. And this happened multiple times and it was terrifying. I never, remember ever encountering something like that before. You know what? I just thought of something. When I was, I don't know how old I was. My dad was in the Air Force. So he went to Vietnam for a year. And my mom and my siblings and I, there were seven kids in the family, moved to North Carolina to live near her family while my dad was gone for that year. I got really sick when I was there. And I remember laying in bed. I'm pretty sure I had a pretty good fever. And I remember laying in bed and I was having this really strange visions of, like, I don't even know if I can describe it. It was like coming in and going out. I don't know. It's like I was there and then I wasn't there. And then I was seeing all of these geometrical symbols and what do they call those geometric symbols? There's a name for them. I can't think of off the top of my head.
Me neither right now.
Yeah. they were just coming in and coming out, and it was very, very weird. And it lasted for quite some time. I don't know if I was I don't think I was dying, but I had a really odd experience. I totally forgot about that until just now. That's the only thing that I remember that was paranormal-ish, I guess. But going back to the other, when I was older and I was having those experiences of paralysis, that went on for a while. And then this was back in the early 80s, and I had a waterbed that was high up on a pedestal and had a big mirror and all that stuff. I don't know how old you are, but you probably remember the waterbed days. And yeah, I was sleeping in the middle of this waterbed on my right side. And I woke up and I was paralyzed again, only I didn't see a light, but I was paralyzed. And in my mind, I'm going, oh God, here we go again. And then the waterbed mattress started going up and down and my whole body was going up and down. It was like I was on an ocean. It was crazy. And I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on, but I couldn't move. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I could talk in my head, but I could not move an eyelash. It was insane. And my first thought was maybe one of the girls had gotten out of bed. My oldest daughter at the time, I want to say she was like 5, and my youngest daughter was around 3. And I'm thinking, it's really odd that because the waterbed was so high on a pedestal, I thought there's no way that they could do this much, force on this waterbed mattress. And then when I realized it's definitely not the girls, then I started to panic. And I'm just going up and down and up and down and up and down. I don't hear anything yet, but I'm just going up and down and up and down. And I started like just absolutely freaking out in my head. And then I went from freaking out to or being terrified to being angry. And now I know something is doing it and I want it to stop. So I'm screaming in my head, you know, stop, stop, really, really loud in my head. And I, with, you know, just anger behind that. And then I heard what sounded like little munchkin voices, like from the Wizard of Oz. They were from hearing the voices, I envisioned beings and I felt like there were more than one. There were at least three that were standing on the side of the bed behind me, pushing on this mattress. And as I'm screaming, stop it, they start saying, stop it, in little munchkin voices. And I'm going, oh my God, what in the heck is going on here? And I just keep screaming it, stop it, stop. And they're going, stop it, stop it. And then all of a sudden, like somebody flipped a light switch, I was awake. And I turned over and looked around, and of course, there was nothing there. My first thought was, I have a ghost in the house. There's a ghost. And I wasn't really into UFOs and extraterrestrials. I mean, if you asked me when I was a kid if I believed in life on other planets, I would have definitely said yes, because I was a very open-minded kid. I was not your usual child who just, you know, wanted to play and whatever. I was a deep thinker. And I was lying there and trying to figure out what in the world was going on. I went back to terrified mode, thinking that there was, you know, some kind of a spirit in my house or spirits in my house. And I was raised Catholic. So my first thought was maybe I should get a priest or something. I wasn't like a practicing Catholic. I was forced to go to church every Sunday. But when I was a kid, like I said, I was a deep thinker, right? So every time we'd go to church, I would just dread it because I knew they were lying to me. I knew it didn't make sense. I knew it was dumb and I hated it. So when I became an adult and was on my own, I was like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. So, but I thought at that moment, maybe I should call a priest. You know, I don't know why priests do exorcisms. I don't think they get rid of spirits. I don't think so. Anyway, I didn't think about that. I was like, you know, that's the only thing I could think of was get a priest, but I did not go that route. Then my youngest daughter, my 3-year-old, she started having nightmares in the middle of the night. She would wake up. She would be screaming. I would jump out of bed, run to her, hold her. But she was so young that she really couldn't tell me, you know, if she was having a nightmare or what the nightmare was about. I mean, she could talk, you know, but she was, I don't think she, even at 3, even realized what a dream was, you know, or what, you know, what she was not able to tell me what was going on and what scared her. And this kept going on and on and on and on and on. Every night she was doing this and I didn't know what to do. There was one night when she woke up and she started screaming and I ran in her room and she was not in her bed. And I hear her scream again and from behind me, and I turned around and she was inside of her closet and she was on the floor in the closet and she was scratching at the wall. And the wall that she was scratching on was the wall that was on and my bedroom was on the other side of that wall. So she was trying to get to me through the wall and she didn't want to go out into the hallway. I snatched her up, put her in, you know, put her on the bed. I'm holding her. And again, I'm asking her, you know, and I'm crying, you know, because I don't know what's going on. And I'm crying and she's crying. And I thought, this is futile to ask her, but I need to ask her again, you know, what scared you, honey? What happened? What are you afraid of? And she said, I'm paraphrasing, but she was three. She said, the dark is in the hall and it's going to get me. And so I thought, oh my God, it's the ghosts again. It's the ghosts. They're terrifying my child. My oldest daughter, in the same bedroom, they were on a bunk bed. My oldest daughter was on the top bunk, and she never said anything to me about seeing anything or having any kind of experiences like that. It was just my 3-year-old that went through that phase. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. So I thought, I'm going to bring her to a child psychologist and see if the psychologist can figure out what is going on with her. So I did that. And I ended up taking her like 3 different times. And I just didn't feel like this was the right person. I didn't feel like, now I was raised, if you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you're crazy. Only crazy people go and see a person like that. So when this guy was just telling me ridiculous things, I don't even remember what it was, but it didn't make any sense to me, and I thought it was a bunch of BS. So I stopped. I didn't take her anymore. Eventually, the nightmare stopped. Now, the stuff that was going on with me did not stop. One night, I woke up. I was sleeping on my left side, and in the middle of this waterbed mattress, and I felt something, some pressure on my feet. I was covered up with a blanket, and I felt the blanket kind of pull on my feet. And I woke up because I felt that, but this time I was not paralyzed. And my first thought was, again, one of the kids is up, and I'm just going to ignore her. She'll go back to bed, because I thought, if I get up, you know, in the middle of the night, she's going to want to hang out and, you know, not go back to bed. So I thought, I'm just going to lay here and see what happens, and she'll probably end up going back to bed. But then the force on the blanket was very, very subtle. It released, and then it came more toward the edge of the bed, and I could feel it push down again, and I could feel the blanket tug across like my ankle area. And I'm going, okay, that just doesn't seem like something a child would do. And then I'm still okay. And I'm going, okay, I'm just going to see what happens. And then the pressure started coming up toward, you know, my back, and it would push down. I would feel the covers tug across my legs. It would release. It would move up. It would push down. I felt the pressure around my hip area. Now I'm getting a little unnerved here. And I'm thinking, this is not one of my kids. And then I went to, it's the ghost. Well, I'm not going to look. I'm too terrified. There is no way I am going to flip over and see what is standing over my bed, because I was envisioning some kind of horrible looking monsterish evil spirit thing. And I'm going, no way. I'm just going to lay here and see what happens. And by the time I got up to my middle of my back, I was drenched in sweat. I was so terrified. My heart was racing. I was just beyond terrified. It got up to like my shoulder blade area, and I felt the blanket pull across my arms or my arm. And then it released. And then, now, keep in mind, I'm on a tall pedestal, you know, waterbed, and I'm laying in the middle of this huge mattress. So whoever did this had to be pretty tall. So then I felt the pressure ever so lightly on my back, like between my shoulder blades. It just touched my back through the blanket. And I thought I was just going to absolutely die. And it released, and there was no noise. There was no rustling of anything. I did not hear any walking. I heard nothing. And I felt this. And then I am just absolutely drenched in sweat. And then I laid there for, oh God, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And I did not move a muscle. And I never felt anything else. So I thought it was safe. And I ripped the blanket back and I sat up and there was nothing there. And I didn't even know what to think at that point. I was just absolutely freaked out. I'm thinking that there's a ghost. And I didn't know what to do. It eventually stopped happening. And then I just kind of moved on with my life. I got remarried. We moved out of that house, which I was so grateful for because I thought it was the house. That house had a spirit. And we moved to an apartment complex in San Diego. And my husband was in the Navy, and we were living in this apartment. And I had a third daughter, so I had a baby, and my youngest, my baby was around 7-8 months old, and we were all asleep at night. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had this knowing that my family was coming. And it was a very strong, loving feeling. I had this very strong feeling that my family was coming, and I was so, so excited. I hadn't seen them in a long time, and they were here. I got out of bed. I didn't want to wake my husband up, so I kind of creeped out of bed really gently. And for whatever reason, to this day, I don't know why, but I went to my youngest daughter's crib, and I took her out of her crib, and I put her on my hip, and we walked out the front door. And I am just so happy, so excited. We walked to the curb, and I'm looking up at the sky, and it looks like Northern Lights, but way more beautiful than Northern Lights. And the colors were different than Northern Lights. It was every color of the rainbow was just swirling up in the sky. It was absolutely beautiful. And I knew that was their signal that they were here. Now, my next memory, and I don't know how I got there or we got there, we were standing in the middle of a clearing and there were trees all around and the moon was shining. And I look straight ahead and I can see a UFO, a spacecraft on the ground. And there is a very tall being standing next to just outside of the craft. And I see it. And then I look to my left and look to my right, and there's other people with me. Everybody's in their pajamas. There was an old couple standing next to me. Like I said, everybody was in their pajamas and they all kind of looked like they were sleepwalking. Like they didn't really have expressions on their faces. I mean, they had their eyes open and they were just kind of standing around and I'm just kind of observing everything. And then I look back at the spaceship and then everybody notices that it's there and we all start walking towards it. Oh my gosh, Simon, when the closer I got to this being, I started feeling this overwhelming sense of unconditional love. There are no human words that can describe what this felt like. It was unbelievable. And the closer I got to her, and I knew it was a woman, the closer I got to her, the stronger it became. It was so intense. Every time I think about it, I get teary-eyed because it's just knowing that there are beings out there that have that much love is just, oh my, there are no words. I can't explain it. It's just so incredibly beautiful. We got up to the spaceship or the craft, and we walked aboard, and we went down a very narrow hallway. And I remember when I was in the hallway, I looked up toward the ceiling, and it's like I was looking into a void. It's like there was no ceiling. It was just darkness. Like I could see forever. It was the oddest thing. But I didn't react like it was odd. But when I remembered it afterwards, you know, I'm thinking that's odd that there was no ceiling. But I do remember looking up and seeing the void. And we went down the hallway and we came to a room that had an arched doorway. And we walked into this room, and it was a fairly small room. Fairly small. It was like a good sized bedroom, I guess, size. And there was and what was interesting about the room is it was completely round, and it had a bench seating that went across the wall or down around the wall and attached to the floor so that we could sit something that we could sit on. And it was all I did notice that it was all attached. There was no lines or I don't ever because I did have a couple of regressions about it. And I don't remember seeing any bolts or, you know, anything that would look man-made, I guess. And in the middle of this room was this very large quartz crystal, very beautiful. And it was sitting on like a platform or a pedestal of some kind. And it was sitting in the middle, and you had to walk around this crystal to get to where you were going to sit. My daughter and I were the first ones in, and I walked around the crystal and to the other side of the room and sat down. And then I'm sitting there, and I've got my daughter on my lap, and I'm watching the other people walk into the room. And everybody's walking in, everybody's taking a seat, everybody's like really calm. And then I remembered my husband laying in bed, and I started to panic. And I thought, if he wakes up and finds us gone, he is going to absolutely freak out. And hardly did I even get that thought out of my, you know, out of my brain. The being was standing at the doorway, and she said to me telepathically, "Do not worry, he will be fine." And then as soon as she said that, I was fine. My whole attitude was, let's get this thing going. Whatever we're doing, let's do it. And then I woke up the next morning. I would love to know what happened from that point until I woke up. I've never been able to find out. I do know from our regression that I had that what happened on the spaceship was I was quote unquote jump started. Like if your battery's dead and you jump start your battery, the battery in your car, they were jump starting. One of the things that they did to me was jump start me so that I could they woke me up, in other words, so that I could start having spiritual experiences, and I could learn or remember. It was all about remembering who I was, what I was doing here. I didn't get the full picture, but just waking me up so that I could start my spiritual journey because I knew that's why I came here, to have this amazing spiritual. We all come here to have an amazing spiritual journey. I wasn't special there, but for whatever reason, they felt like I needed to be jump-started. When I woke up the next morning, my husband was already gone. He was he had to get up early and go to work. But I was just in shock. I didn't even know what to think. I mean, I remembered it all, and I'm thinking to myself, was this a dream? Did this really happen? I didn't know. I was in shock. I was in absolute shock. And knowing that they're real, that was the thing when it hit me. Oh my God, they're real. They're real. And then I got excited. And I wanted to just tell everybody. Like, I wanted to just go outside and just scream really loud, they're real. Aliens are real. Aliens are real. But of course, back in those days, you didn't do that because you'd get hauled off in a straitjacket and you'd be in a facility for the rest of your life. So I did tell, when my husband came home, I did tell him what happened. And I mean, he was as supportive as he could possibly be, right? He told me, I believe that you believe, and I will support you in any way that I can, which I thought was amazing, because he could have said, holy crap, you know, we need to call somebody, you know, you've lost your mind. So it was very shortly after that, I started having this really strange feeling that it was like somebody was trying to tell me something, or I was trying to remember something, and right before I could remember it, it would disappear. And it was almost kind of like deja vu, where you start thinking, oh, I've done this before. And then before you could remember where you did this before, it was completely gone. Or it was kind of like that, but it was more of a remembering something, or like somebody was trying to tell me something, maybe, or I couldn't figure it out. It was very frustrating, and it was going on like 50 times a day. And for days, this was going on. And I thought, this is it. I'm done. You know, I really have lost my mind. I am absolutely going crazy. This is it. And I remember being in my living room one day, and it was doing it again. And I remember standing in the middle of the living room. I raised my arms up to the ceiling and I screamed out, "What is it? What is it?" And I heard this male voice, as if he was standing right next to me, so gently saying to me, "Be patient, it's coming." And I'm looking around and I'm going, oh, I just knew I had lost my mind. And then I started crying because I didn't understand what was going on. And but at the same time, the voice was so gentle and caring and loving that I thought maybe it has to do with the extraterrestrials. I don't know. But I just remember crying and just being so afraid of not knowing what is happening to me. And I don't know if it was like the next day or maybe a couple of days went by, and I started, I don't have a better word for this, download. You know, I'm not crazy about that word for some reason, but I remember having, it was like something in my brain broke open, and all of this knowledge just came flooding through. And it was knowledge about life and what this is all about, and just essentially it was like metaphysics 101 stuff that I had never in my physical body had known before. And this was just like I could literally feel, it was almost like a flood, like all of this data coming in, and it was just flooding my mind. And it was so fast and so much that I screamed out, please stop, please stop, please stop. And it did, it stopped. Again, I'm terrified. I've got three little girls and, you know, and a husband. And, you know, if I end up in a hospital, you know, what's going to happen to them? And I don't know, all this stuff was going through my mind. And, I need information. I need to know what's going on. So I went to a used bookstore that was close by, and I picked up books on metaphysics and just all kinds of books. And I remember one of the books I bought was Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb. I don't know why I picked that up, because I was so not into Hollywood stuff, and she was an actress, right? And I'm going, but I read the back of it, and the book seemed to be have, you know, maybe have some information that could help me, and I bought it. And that was the first book I read. And I remember sitting in my bed one night, and I'm reading this book, and all of the Hollywood stuff, I just kind of didn't even really read. I just went to the meat of it, and I just wanted the information. And as I'm reading this book about her talking about out-of-body experiences and just all the metaphysical stuff that she experienced and was talking about, it wasn't like I was learning something new. It was like I was remembering something I forgot. It was the oddest feeling. Like I was saying, oh, I remember that. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I don't know if it was from the downloads that I was getting that was already in my head. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's the first time I've thought about that. But it might have been from all the downloads that I was getting that where I was thinking, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was part of my download. I don't know if it was that or if it was just regular remembering things that I had, like we all, right? We come here and we forget everything. We forget who we are. We forget, you know, who we were in the past. We forget about why we're here. We forget all about that. So I was remembering all of this stuff, and I found it, I could not get enough. I could not get enough information. I was just eating up every book that I read. Was just, and it was all the same. It was all, oh yeah, I know that. Oh yeah, I remember that. It was incredible. So we were getting ready to be, my husband was getting ready to be deployed to another, not deployed, but go to a new duty station in Memphis. And we were leaving San Diego. And we, right before we left, my husband said, "You, what do you think about maybe going to see a psychic?" And I, you know, I'm like, you know, I was taught psychics, you know, that's the devil's stuff. that's the devil stuff. And I'm going, well, maybe, you know, and he said, maybe she can help answer some of your questions, and or he or she could. Usually it was a woman. Maybe she could help answer some of your questions. And so he did the research and he found a woman in San Diego and called her up and made me an appointment. And I went to her house, just me, and went to her house. And the nicest lady, her name was, oh my gosh, what was her name? Mona Dixon. Mona Dixon. I went to see her. The nicest lady. She invited me into her home. We went to one of her rooms, bedroom, was set up for, you know, for what things that she does, the psychic readings and whatnot. And I had never been to a psychic before. This was a whole new thing for me. I don't really remember too much about what we talked about. She did do. I mean, there were some personal things that she said to me that, you know, that I don't feel comfortable talking about here, but But it was a very, very, I felt so much better when I left there. And she kind of answered my questions about, you know, this is just, this is part of who you are. And this is, there's nothing to be afraid of. And, you know, and this just making me feel a lot more comfortable. And when we were done, I don't know, we probably talked an hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. I was there a long time. She's the nicest lady. And she, when we were done, she said, I'm not going to take your money. She said, she took a index card and she wrote her address and her phone number on it. And cause she, I told her I was leaving the state and she said, if you ever need anything, you contact me. And so I thanked her, hugged her, you know, and she didn't take any of my money. And I went home and I just felt so much better. And then when we, and then we moved and we went to Tennessee, got settled in Tennessee. And then one night I woke up and opened my eyes and I'm looking down at my body laying in the bed. And I freaked out. I thought I was dead. I thought, this is it. I just died. And then for some reason, it came to me that I'm not dead. And then I started to panic and I didn't know how do I get back in my body? And so I'm screaming for my husband to wake him up and he's not hearing me. So I kind of floated down toward him. And I remember, just beating on him with my fists, trying to wake him up. And he is not my fists are going right through his body. And I didn't know what to do. And I was just freaking out and just floating there. And I didn't know how to get in my body. And I don't know how long that lasted. It was, it seemed like 5 minutes, but it probably was only a few seconds. And then all of a sudden I was back in my body. And I sat up in bed and I screamed out and then woke him up and I told him what happened. And he's going to, you know, he didn't know what to make of all that stuff. I certainly didn't know what to make of it either. I didn't even know. I mean, I've read about the out-of-body experiences, but I didn't connect the dots. Like, this is an out-of-body experience. I didn't know what it was. Even though I had read about it and all that stuff, I wasn't making the connection. So this started happening like night after night. I was waking up and hovering over my body. And it freaked me out every single time. I'm screaming. I'm terrified. I'm blah, blah, blah. And I'm going through all these motions, trying to wake my husband up. Blah, blah, same thing every night. And then I remembered Mona giving me her address and stuff. And I sat down and I wrote her a letter and I explained what was going on, told her what was going on. And of course, snail mail. I guess I could have called her, but I didn't even think about that. I just sat down and wrote her this letter, and it probably took a couple of weeks to hear back from her. And she wrote me a letter. Really, I still have the letter, a really nice letter. And she told me, you know, that this was an out of body experience and there is nothing to be afraid of. This is normal. Everybody does it. Some people remember it. Some people don't. But it happens to everybody and it's completely normal. She said, if you're ever terrified and you want to get back in your body, she said, call out the name of someone that you love or someone that you admire. She said, like Jesus or God or Mother Mary or, you know, somebody. And she said, and they will help you get back in your body. So the next time that happened, again, I'm going through all of the things that I'd go through every single time. I'd freak out, trying to wake my husband up, et cetera, et cetera. And then I remembered what she said to me. And I was going to scream out the name Jesus. I got J out. As soon as I got J out, my body woke up. It was immediate. And I was like, wow, okay. I had to accept it. This is a part of my life. And I went on we lived there for a year. And for a year, I was having these out-of-body experiences on a regular basis, and I was able to not be afraid and was able to get back in my body as soon as I realized what was going on. It wasn't until we left Tennessee. Our next duty station was in Keflavik, Iceland, and we moved to Iceland, and the out-of-body experiences ramped up big time. I think it was the energy there was completely different. And I started having more and more and more out-of-bodies, like every single night. Before, it was like maybe a couple times a week. Now it was like every single night I'm having an out-of-body experience. And it got to the point where I accepted it and even said, you know, this isn't so bad. And I started, when I first started having these out-of-body experiences, if I wanted to go in from my living room from my bedroom to the living room, I would literally like do the motions of moving my feet and walking there. But I got to the point where all I had to do was think about where I wanted to be, and then I would be there. Also, I was walking through walls, and at first I kind of stayed within the apartment they were living in. And then eventually I was venturing out of the apartment and flying around the Navy base, or flying over to, you know, the little towns next door, or flying over to Reykjavik, just flying around, just doing my thing. And so every night it was an adventure. And one night I was standing beside my bed, looking at my body, and I'm thinking, what do I want to do tonight? So I thought about a friend that I had. Her name was Donna, and she and I hung out a lot together, but I didn't tell her any of this stuff that I had been through, because I didn't want her to think I was crazy. So that was something I just kept to myself, and, you know, talked to my husband about it, but I didn't talk to anybody else about it. And I thought about Donna, and I thought, I'm going to take Donna on a flight. I'm going to go get her and show her what this is all about. So I thought about her, and then all of a sudden I'm standing at the foot of her bed, which is kind of creepy if you think about it, because her husband's laying there, you know, and she's laying there, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm in their bedroom. Oh my God. You know, at the time I was, when I was having the experience, I didn't think it was afterwards. I was going, wow, that was kind of creepy. I don't think I'm going to do that again. But anyway, I walked over to her side of the bed, and I took her by the hand, and I took her out of her body. And so she's standing next to me, and she didn't say anything. She was kind of looking kind of like she was asleep. Her eyes were open, but she didn't have any kind of expression or anything like that on her face. And I took her by the hand, and we floated up through the ceiling, then through the roof of the building, and then we started flying. And I'm not saying anything to her, but I got her by the hand still, and we're just flying over, and we're looking down, and, you know, there's snow on the ground. And what's interesting is when you're out of body, you don't feel temperature. I didn't feel the cold at all. It just felt normal. It just felt like a normal body temperature. And we were just flying. And then for some reason, and I don't know why this happened. I'd love to know why this happened, but I don't know why this happened. But we went to a house, and it was a two-story house. And we flew over to this house, and we went down through the ceiling, or the roof and the ceiling of a room into this house. We floated down feet first. And when we came into this room, it was a fairly large room, and there was nothing in the room other than a circle of chairs. And when we landed in the middle of this circle of chairs. And I look around and I see people. And they're just, at first, they're just standing there and talking to each other, just very quietly. Everybody was talking to each other. And then somebody noticed that I was there. And so they all noticed that I was there. And then they all came over and they all sat in these chairs. And I stood in the middle of this ring of chairs and I started talking to these people. I don't remember what I told them, but I know I talked for a few minutes telling them whatever I came there to tell them. And then I took Donna by the hand again and we floated up and went through the roof of the building or the house. And then I took her home and put her back in her body. And then I went home. And then the next morning I woke up and I remembered it. And I'm like, holy crap. I have to call Donna. But I was terrified too. And I remember multiple times during that day, picking up the phone and dialing her number and then hanging up because I didn't want to tell her what had happened because she was my best friend there and I didn't want to lose her as a friend. And finally, I just got really angry at myself. And I'm like, you're never going to know unless you ask. You're going to go the rest of your life and not know. So I said, I'm doing it. So I picked up the phone. I called her. She happened to be home. And she picked up the phone and I said, hey, I said, I have a really weird question for you. And she said, what's up? And I said, did you by any chance have a dream about me last night? And she got quiet for a minute, a few seconds or whatever. And then she said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. And I said, really? I said, what did you dream? She told me everything we did, Simon. And she ended with, we held hands and flew away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it happened. It was real. That was my validation because all of these, this time that I was doing this, I always thought, you know, maybe it's just a dream. Maybe it's not real, but that was my validation that this really happened. So I was so excited that I blurted out to her what had happened. And she said something really odd. She said something like, huh, well, that's weird. And then she followed up with, what are you guys doing this weekend? I was crushed. I was so crushed. I was so upset. I felt embarrassed. I felt hurt. I went through all these emotions, and it wasn't until many, many years later that looking back on that, I realized that when your brain can't comprehend something that huge, it's like your brain shuts it out, like it doesn't want to recognize it. And that's what she did. That's what her body did. Her body said, no, this is too weird. We can't handle this. And it just, she just went on to something else. And we never spoke about it ever again. So that was really interesting.
I wanted to ask, you took your daughter with you when you went to that ship. Mm-hmm. And you went and sat where the crystal is. Has your daughter said anything over the years since then of any encounters she might have had?
No, she hasn't. But she's not closed minded to it. But she doesn't discount it. I mean, she's interested. And there was one time when she actually wanted to talk about it. Like I brought it up to her, you know, several times over her lifetime. And she's always listened to the story with interest. But you have to understand she is, when she was very, very young, she was extremely smart. And I sometimes wonder, now my other kids are smart too, but there was something different about her. And I often wondered if maybe something was given to her on the spaceship that made her this way, because she was just very, very intelligent child and in gifted programs. And, you know, she decided when she was in, I think it was 11th grade in high school, she decided that she wanted to go right to college. And she knew that talking to her dad and I about her wanting to just, you know, leave high school and go right into college, that we probably would not think that was a good idea. So she went ahead and talked to everybody, and, you know, talked to her counselor at school, and then went to the college and talked to them and worked it all out. So she had all the answers that she could give us. And everybody gave her the go ahead. Like, if that's what you want to do, yeah, we can work it out. So that's when she told her dad first. And then he at first went, I don't know. And then she answered all his questions, and he went, all right, sounds good to me. And then she told me, and I, again, same response. And so she did. She tested out of high school, went right into college. And she, when she was little, because she used to do that all the time when she was little, she wanted to do something, she would come up with all the answers that mom and dad could ask that could convince us, you know, that it's a good idea that she do this thing that she wants to do. So we used to tell her all the time, you're going to be a lawyer. You need to be a lawyer, because of the way she would think and, you know, how smart she was. And so now she's a lawyer. We were just talking about that yesterday, or the day before yesterday. We were talking about that when she was little, and how we used to tell her that. And she said, yeah, that's it. That is kind of strange. And so she's very analytical thinking is the reason I'm bringing this up. So bringing, you know, extraterrestrials and all of that into her mind is like, you know, her analytical mind starts going, yeah, is it possible? I don't know. And, you know, and her scientific mind is thinking about this and that and the other. And, you know, so she was always on the fence with the whole thing. And even though she's always been very supportive, my kids have always been very supportive of all of this. And I've told them these stories, you know, their whole life. They've heard stories like this. So yeah, but I don't know. I don't know why I took her. I think there's a reason I had that I took her, but I'm not really sure why. And I wonder if her, you know, her thinking abilities or whatever, her smartness had something to do with that, because my other kids were not like that, even though everybody's very smart and, you know, they're very well established and good people. And, you know, just my kids are amazing.
Well, thanks a lot for giving me so much of your time.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that was an interview with Terry Scalia about her experience of alien abduction. And a great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to the extended version of this episode, which is about an extra 20 minutes. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.